MITRE is now global for hackers. Non-compete agreements are gone. And the clock is kind of out of time for TikTok. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
This episode is presented by OIT VoIP. Enhance your clients' communication abilities with our VoIP solution, featuring integrated billing, on-demand training, and live US support. Collaborate seamlessly with Microsoft Teams integration and put your entire phone system in your pocket with MobileX. Improve your offerings and increase profitability with reliable service for 1/10 of the average MSP acquisition cost. To learn more, visit oit.co or dial 844-CALL-OIT.
Good morning and welcome to the April 26th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. My name is Tony Francisco, and I am joined today by my co-host, Mr. Josh Hobine, not Hobain. Josh, how are you doing today? Last time we co-hosted, I think I was in therapy for like 3 days talking about computer hacks, exploits, and ransomware. How are you doing today? How's life?
I mean, they're pretty good, just getting over a cold that my kids brought home. So I'm sure all of us with kids know how that goes. Everyone around the house got it. And I was like, yes, I survived. And then a day later, it was like, nope, we're going to get you. So,
gotcha.
And I also brought with me some interesting facts. You know, see if you knew these. Do you know interesting facts about the number 200? Each dandelion flower produces 200 seeds. 200 is the smallest base 10 on primable number, and 200 is also the number of today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
What? 200 seeds. 200 is that really the lowest base 10 primary number? I did not know that.
According to Google, it is. So,
hey, so with that, you know what we should probably cover?
Some news stories.
Let's do it. In my first story from Nate Nelson at darkreading.com, MITRE has been attacked. InfoSec's most trusted name falls to the Ivanti bugs. Foreign nation-state hackers exploited Ivanti's vulnerabilities to access MITRE's networks, including the Networked Experimentation Research and Virtualization Environment, that's NERV, ending a 15-year incident-free streak. The attackers exploited 2 zero-day vulnerabilities in Ivanti's Connect Secure VPNs to bypass multi-factor authentication and gain access to an administrator account. They then infiltrated the network's VMware infrastructure, deploying web shells for persistence and backdoors to steal credentials and data. Despite MITRE's efforts to follow best practices and upgraded systems, the compromise went undetected until April, allowing hackers 3 months of unrestricted access. Darren Guccione, CEO of Keeper Security, emphasizes the seriousness of cyber attacks on MITRE, noting the attackers' foreign connections and their exploitation of critical vulnerabilities could risk potentially exposing sensitive data and intellectual property. Josh, here is what I see when I read this. 15 months or 15 years of incident-free, like 15 months. We went 15 months and there's no exploit. That's how bad I have been affected by the stories that we cover all the time. And these are major, major players in the MSP and the channel that really touch millions of users. 15 years, my brain can't wrap around that. But they have been breached. And that's from one slip of best practices. Is there a way out of this, or do we just have to become more rigid in our standards and processes? Do we have to, as I call it, dazzle people with the basics of MFA, 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 MFA? By the way, that's zero trust, zero trust, zero trust, zero trust. And oh, incidentally, we need a continual audit of every single one of our systems. So the deployment of something isn't the cost of the initial deployment, but we should also calculate the cost of the audits as we continue in the evolution of the rest of the platform and network. Is that the only way out? What am I missing here other than clearly my PTSD meeting that is right after this episode?
So it goes in, and I don't think this was a slip up according to the article. It was a 0 day, which you can't I mean, you do industry best practices to prevent the effects of, you know, 0 days, because incidents, they're not a matter of if they happen. It's going to be a matter of when. And this is a perfect example of that. So they had a 0 day. They got in. They were able to mitigate.
Josh, they bypassed multi-factor authentication. Don't give them any. I'm totally joking.
Unfortunately, MFA is easier and easier to get by these days. Now, I'm not saying you don't need it. You absolutely need it. But it is unfortunately pretty easy. Us on the defense side, we're constantly playing catch up. You know, we're trying to stay ahead of the attackers, but we can't respond to a breach or an incident until it happens, right? So how can we defend against something if we don't know it exists, right? Other than the industry best practices. And the other side of things, as weird as it sounds, I do like these stories out there because that's an example. Hey, this is a leader in cybersecurity best practices, and they're still getting attacked. The other side is when these happens is they have amazing follow-up reports, and everyone can learn from them. You know, in response to other companies getting attacked, a lot of the times they're not publishing the Kappa or corrective actions, plan of actions, or, you know, giving you the full timeline. When these things happen, specifically the MITRE one, I highly recommend reading into it. You get an exact timeline of here's what happened, here's what was accessed, here's what we did, and you learn about the MITRE framework. So again, it, you know, as much as it sucks to have these things happen, there is good that can come with it, and we can learn from this together.
Very, very insightful. I am traumatized by every one of these stories, but I'm also inspired by the way some of these incidents are handled. I do believe from the bottom of my heart that we are not going to be able to be better until we are damaged in some way, shape, or form, just like the way, frankly, a virus evolves. There is going to be trials that tribulations that it can be passed and forced into the evolutionary process of your processes to make yourself stronger and better. Now, in the event of being a virus, no pun intended, by the way, that's a bad thing. But as a living, breathing a network that we are all administrating, as the MSPs do, I am fascinated by how well MSPs are taking this. But at the same side, I am astonished by the lack of forcefulness, and I recognize the tightrope everyone's walking on, that needs to be imposed at some point to the customer base, because these things are no longer eventual. They are imminent, and it's hurting the community as a whole. So as we move forward through these stories, I'm trying to figure out where they will evolve. But the good news is that there are large entities out there that are kind of leading us forward. And if it doesn't work in your MSP or anywhere else in any company, you can go anywhere you want now. But I think you have a story to talk about that.
Indeed, Tony, I do have a story about that. My first story here from Emma Roth at The Verge: the FTC has banned non-compete agreements. The Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, has officially banned non-compete agreements nationwide, saying that they are an unfair method of competition. These agreements, commonly used to restrict employees from joining or establishing competing businesses, are common in sectors like technology. The FTC's decision requires companies to revoke existing non-compete agreements and inform employees accordingly. However, current non-compete agreements for senior executives can remain, though new contracts are not allowed. The FTC identifies alternative measures such as trade secret laws and non-disclosure agreements. FTC Chair Lina Khan says that non-compete clauses limit wage growth and innovation and hamper economic growth. The ban, proposed in January 2023, affects approximately 30 million workers and is expected to encourage the establishment of over 8,500 businesses annually. It will also improve healthcare affordability and increase worker compensation. The new regulation will take effect 120 days after it is published in the Federal Register. So, Tony, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this. Do you have any experience, or is the non-compete agreements anything you've ever dealt with?
I have many, many, many times. So I have a lot of friends in the industry that have been checking their clock all day long, their watch, saying, okay, was it non-compete up? T- to the day it expires, they release whatever they've been working on. It's an interesting dance that we've been witnessing over the years in technology. This particular subject is a very, very, we'll call it crunchy one. The reason it's so awkward is because A, people have been saying for years, non-competes don't really matter. Well, in state to state, really very state to state. B, the industry is what really makes a difference, because a non-compete in a, we'll just call it a clothing store as a retail employee, well, that non-compete doesn't really mean anything going from one mall store to the next mall store. They're not really going to mean anything. But in technology, that means a lot, because moving from one hosted application to another hosted application, that means everything. If you work at one autonomous electric vehicle company and you decide to go to another autonomous driving electric vehicle company, that means something. And it becomes a little bit more apparent as you move into a more complex environment. That being said, you've now opened up an entirely new bag of mess when you talk about the non-competes being applied to senior executives. And the key word there is senior executive. Well, then by definition, do you think that the nomenclature for employment can say, here are X employees and here's our senior executive team, and then there's going to be some new layer above them? Because then the non-competes would apply to this new senior executive layer. So what I'm trying to do is, how are companies going to game the system to accommodate this new dismissal of something that was, in some cases, very important to them? What are your thoughts on this?
I'm mixed, and you know, I'll be the first one to say that I don't have the best educated opinion to know the ins and outs of it. But it's interesting, and I'm interested to see how it develops, because like you said, when you're in kind of those, you know, we take the automated car company, you know, you have kind of the trade secrets, right? And you obviously can't take any of that material with you, but you have it up here. So what? You could be seen as more valuable.
It's not the trade secrets that's a big deal. Yeah. It could be the accounts themselves. So someone in sales, mm-hmm. They're not going to be the architect behind the whole infrastructure, that they're taking that proprietary infrastructure to some other company. However, they could be taking the accounts and the relationships, which is extraordinarily valuable. So it does vary based on the position, but it also amplifies drastically as you move up the, we'll call it the food chain, in an organization because of the importance. But an individual sales rep could have far more impact on a senior architect of something proprietary.
Well, the other side too is, let's look at from the employee side, and the good that's supposed to come with that as well is, you know, now at this point, you're not stuck in something that you don't want to be in, or for whatever reason, you know, hey, I hate my job, but it pays for my health insurance and it pays the bills. And you know, if I leave now, I can't work in the industry for 6 months to a year. So you're pretty much ruining my livelihood by keeping me chained to something that I don't like. So, and like you kind of touched on too, the non-competes might not have been a thing kind of state to state. So, but now they don't exist. So again, it's, you know, doing the right thing, but what are the other fallouts kind of behind it? You know, it sounds good. It sounds great from an employee perspective, but there's generally more dominoes that fall when things like this are released. So we'll be stay tuned to MSP Dispatch, and we'll make sure to let you know which dominoes are falling next. Speaking of falling dominoes, Tony, can you let us know what they're trying to ban?
Some interesting events are happening. A story from Victoria Elliott at Wired.com. President Biden signs a bill that could ban TikTok. President Joe Biden signed a bill that could lead TikTok to being banned in the United States by next year. The bill, part of a foreign aid package, requires TikTok's Chinese owner, ByteDance, to sell the app within a year or face a nationwide ban. Although Biden's statement did not mention TikTok, it focused on foreign aid, highlighting support for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. TikTok criticized the move, calling it unconstitutional and stating they'll challenge it in court. Additionally, CEO Shaozi Chu labeled the bill a ban in a TikTok video. The Chinese government has shown reluctance to approve a sale and has restricted the export of TikTok's algorithm. If implemented, the ban could affect millions of businesses and users in the United States. Josh, it's going to cut to the chase. I'm old. What is TikTok? I'm just kidding. You're young. Everyone's using TikTok backwards and forwards. I see it once in a while. No. Okay. I'm going to be very, very blunt about this. I've installed TikTok when it first came out. I had it that fast. And I kind of researched a little bit about it. I don't want to get into details. For those of you who know my background, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I deleted it, never looked back. And slowly but surely, I recognized the ties that TikTok has, and more importantly, the influence that TikTok has. And if you've done the research, you understand, hey, to kids, it's showing great fun dance videos over here. But in China, it does not do that nearly as much. It's kind of like an 80-20 swap, where in China, it's more about science, math, education. And over here, it's more about, frankly, recreation and entertainment. I'm not a fan of that at all. However, I do recognize the, we'll call it ancillary parenthetical value, which is substantial, to say the least. What are your thoughts on this? And is this just, are we talking about, you've heard me say this before, are we talking about dehydrated water? Is this just a vapid conversation that's not, because it's going to take a year. Three of the five major investors in, or three of the five board members, I'm sorry, in TikTok's board are U.S. citizens. So there's a lot of weird, ambiguous, nebulous concern here. And is this just a ruse to, hey, let's look at that. Look. But over here, we're doing something here because we want complete control of Meta and all the other data. We don't want anyone else to have control. What are we talking about here? Is this an issue?
It's the, I have so many thoughts on this, and this is where my tinfoil hat comes out. We haven't seen it yet, but here it is. Absolutely. I mean, TikTok is do your research on it and on it, sell it if you're using. The bigger one I have an issue with is Temu, you know, a lot in the same. And I'm interested to see why that also isn't included in this. I understand the differences, you know, having the social media being able to influence and things like that. But it's important to note that the bill isn't banning TikTok directly, because that was one of my issues with it, is I'm, you know, obviously very anti it. Yes, I don't have TikTok, not a fan of what it can do and what it's doing. But I don't think that there should be a precedence to say, hey, the government doesn't like an application and it's going to ban that specific application. I don't feel that that might not be the right thing to do. But again, this bill isn't saying, you know, down with TikTok, right? It's just a byproduct of what it's trying to do. And what it's trying to do, the exact language in it is, it's unlawful for an entity to distribute, maintain, or update a foreign adversary controlled application carrying out in the maritime borders of the United States, right? So I also have thoughts on that too. And I feel that, again, this is, you know, something that you're trying to do the right thing for the right reason. But in my opinion, if you're actually trying to stop something, we need better privacy laws. That is the root of it. And we're not, because what TikTok is doing is the same thing that Facebook is doing. It's the same thing that Instagram is doing. It has the ability to influence and to maintain control and to dictate what gets into your algorithm. The difference is it's US-based versus China-based. And now obviously a foreign adversary that creates a larger issue. But if we're blocking there, you know, we're basically saying, well, it's okay for these companies to do it, but it's not okay for these companies to do it. Obviously, these companies are owned by foreign adversaries, which generates another conversation. But I think, you know, overall, it's a privacy issue and not a specific application issue. And what's to stop the foreign adversaries from then going, okay, cool, we don't have TikTok. We're just going to buy ads on the existing platforms or influence the existing platforms that you have. Because that's totally not also happening, you know, currently as it is right now. So I don't know. It seems like a good move, but I honestly feel it's more smoke and mirrors and not actually solving the problem. However, that's just my thoughts on it. I could keep going. This gets me really fired up. So
I can tell, and I love it.
We should probably move into the notables.
I just want to say, I love that you have not just a formed opinion, but you actually have a business case behind it. I would love to keep tugging on that thread. But you're absolutely correct. We've got a lot of notables and other other stuff to cover. But for those of you out there that are listening to the MSP community specifically, because there's a lot of marketing that you do with TikTok, there's a lot of things you learn with TikTok, I would love your input. So please, please, please put some notations on the YouTube video that you're listening to right now, in the podcast, Discord. Don't forget, we got Discord. I want to hear the, we'll call them conversations, not arguments. They're totally arguments. I want to hear that. I want to hear your threads in Discord as well. But until then, let's cover those notables.
In my first notable mention from Bleeping Computer, Microsoft, APT 28 hackers exploit Windows flaw reported by NSA. Microsoft warns of Russian APT 28 hackers exploiting a Windows print spooler flaw with a new tool called Goose Egg to steal data. Despite a patch in October 2022, the flaw remains exploited, allowing hackers to execute commands with elevated privileges. They deploy Goose Egg via batch scripts, dropping malicious DLL files to gain persistence and target sectors like government and transportation. APT 28 is known for previous high-profile cyber attacks, continues to pose a significant threat with a history of exploiting vulnerabilities and facing charges and sanctions for their activities. And my next notable mention from Ars Technica, hackers infect users of antivirus service that delivered updates over HTTP. Hackers exploited an antivirus service for 5 years to infect users with malware, capitalizing on the service's delivery of updates over HTTP, a vulnerable protocol. Suspected to be linked to North Korea, the hackers executed a man-in-the-middle attack, replacing genuine updates with a backdoor. The attackers employed DLL hijacking and obfuscation techniques to avoid detection, distributing the malware through various channels, including cryptocurrency mining. GuptDeminer, the malware installed, targeted Windows 7 and Windows Server 2008 systems. Avast researchers notified both Escam, the impacted antivirus provider, and India Cert about the security vulnerability, prompting Escam to fix the issue. Escam users should check Avast's post for information about possible infections and run a scan with a trusted antivirus program, which will also detect this infection.
In my first notable mention from Bill Tolis at bleepingcomputer.com, Google Meet opens client-side encrypted calls to non-Google users. Google Meet is improving its client-side encryption to enable external participants, including those without Google accounts, to join encrypted calls. They will ensure that only meeting attendees can access shared data. Previously limited to internal users, this update broadens collaboration possibilities. Admins of Google Workspace Enterprise Plus, Education Standard, and Education Plus licenses can activate the feature by adjusting their IDP KL-CLS configurations. External participants must verify their identity through supported methods like Google or Microsoft accounts or one-time passwords via SMS or email. Administrators can find detailed instructions for implementing this update. In my next notable mention from ConnectWise press release at globalnewswire.com, ConnectWise and Microsoft expand cybersecurity protection for SMB's external inbox. ConnectWise has announced new integrations with Microsoft Defender for Business into ConnectWise PSA and ConnectWise RMM. The integrations enable MSPs to fully streamline solutions operations through the ConnectWise ASIO platform. In addition to the previously announced integration of Microsoft Defender for Business into ConnectWise MDR in fall 2023, this latest integration makes it easier for MSPs to deliver security services at scale to their SMB customers. The integration of Microsoft Defender for Business into ConnectWise RMM and PSA brings this vision to life, offering a range of benefits, including automated critical workflows, data sync, ease of deployment, and a single pane of glass. For more information on the integration and its capabilities, visit the link below in the show notes.
A new model on the scene called Udio is taking the internet by storm with fully generated songs. I want to say thanks to my homie Matt Moyer for hipping me to this new platform. And before we dig into the ramifications, let's just do a quick walkthrough of how this music generator works. Currently, Udio is in beta and entirely free to use with very generous limitations of 600 generations per month. At first glance, the Udio UI is super simple. You just prompt for a type of music you'd like to hear as well as what the subject matter of the song is about, and you're off to the races. Udio uses an LLM to generate lyrics for you based on your subject matter, and while the music is quite good, no matter what you prompt, the lyrics are often pretty generic. So that's when you can switch to manual mode and write your own lyrics. And this is where things get really exciting. If you simply prompt for what your song is about and the genre, you get kind of mediocre results and the moderation is a lot stricter. It should be noted here that it doesn't let you prompt using any artist's name, but that doesn't stop it from recreating some pretty famous voices. But to keep going with how this all works, once you've entered your prompt, each time you'll get two different versions of the song. And if you like the results, you can go into the advanced options and extend it by adding an intro or another segment that falls before or after what you've got, and even an outro.
In our feedback from YouTube, when the House passes bill banning TikTok broker story, from @PrayForMaryMaryEmmanuel, quote, "They already have it though. They left us vulnerable and allowed us to get digitally violated by allowing data brokers to operate at all. They should have been shut down the same month they opened their doors. #DownWithDataBrokers. Well, @PrayForMaryMaryEmmanuel, this is excellent insight. We are interested to find out what happens to data brokers because we are all sensitive to this. I think we all share the exact same opinion, and it's going to be an interesting story ahead. We will cover that here on MSP Dispatch.
There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. Couple of things happening today. First up at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Channel Engage April from the Channel Program. And then at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, Cybersecurity Leadership Virtual Summit from Empath. And then next week on the 2nd, an in-person event, Kaseya Connect Global in Las Vegas, Nevada. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have a lot more for you today and tomorrow, starting with right after this episode at 11 o'clock, MSP Community Live. And then right after that at noon, a new episode of Bits and Books. It's going to be episode 8 about the book Deliberate Discomfort. And then on Saturday, a standalone MSP Dispatch.
Are you searching for fresh strategies, viewpoints, or even a competitive edge for your MSP or IT services company? If so, our book club, Bits and Books, is exactly what you're looking for. I'm Marnie Stockman, and as your host, I bring my experience as an educator, an author, and MSP advisor to each episode. Using lessons from amazing books like Getting Naked, Leaders Eat Last, and many more, I aim to help you and others reach your goals. Our book club brings lively debates, deep insights, and unique perspectives based on our own experiences. Each episode features MSP owners and industry leaders dissecting books that inspire, challenge, and spark new ideas. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting out, I invite you to join me and my friends for the next episode of Bits and Books, available on the MSP Media Network YouTube channel every month. Hope to see you there.
So how'd you like today's show? If you like it, please hit that thumbs up button. If you didn't, make sure you hit it an odd number of times. So I think you've heard this. We get the benefit of getting the link, and then you can just feel angry. Make sure you hit it a whole bunch of times, as long as it's an odd number, and you get that benefit as well. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know that we have a Discord that I just mentioned? We talk about things, we argue about things, but most importantly, we really argue about things. We talk about these stories all week long. You can even vote on which story we will have on the next episode. As our friend Rich Banky says, make sure you tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. And if you have any questions, just email us news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode. Frankly, you could just call us, leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Josh, I cannot remember. What episode number was this?
200.
200. 200. So I am so happy to have co-hosted this episode with you. The amount of anxiety that we have propagated throughout the community is French kiss level, or chef's kiss. Is that chef kiss? Chef's kiss level perfection. I have funded so many of my therapists' lives, their livelihood, from after these shows, going to them saying, "Listen, I don't know if I can take this." And they're like, just upgrade your firmware, Tony. Just upgrade your firmware. You're going to be okay. Do you have MFA on?" And then I'm screaming, "I don't have MFA on. I don't need MFA. I don't need 2FA. I need 6FA. 6FA for everything." So with that, Josh, why don't you go ahead and land the plane and sign us off?
Yeah, I'm glad to have been here. Definitely an honor to have co-hosted the 200th episode, and here's to 2,000 more. Hopefully we stop covering security attacks and we can get into news about, let's go back to like those BuzzFeed articles, like the top 21, which Saved by the Bell character are you? And we just have that for a segment, right? Maybe that's the 399th episode. We'll get there. But for now, definitely the stories here got me a little heated, and I'm going to go take a walk and enjoy the beautiful weather. So thanks again, and we'll see you next time.
Excellent, you guys. Hey, everyone, take care and be safe.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
As our French rich bank...